If something I say today sounds a little bit familiar, this is my confession time. I actually talked a lot about what I'm about to share 7 years ago on my first Mother's Day here. But knowing that most of us struggle to remember content of a sermon, last week, I feel like it's okay to revisit something from 7 years ago. And even if you do remember it, I think this is a topic that's really worth revisiting and reminding ourselves of. Hebrews 4:15 says something fairly profound. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us in our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just like we are. Yet he did not sin." I once had a woman approach me at church, really bothered by how we in the church sometimes talk about God. She understood God as a loving Father, and she loved God in return. She accepted Jesus as the one who revealed the heart of God to us through his birth, life, death, resurrection. She sought to follow Jesus. She was actually a teacher and leader who was trying to help others discover the love of God and to learn to live the way of Jesus. But despite all of that, there was one thing that really bugged her. She did not like it when we said that God understands us and all that we go through. Like that Hebrews passage talks about it. She knew that Hebrews claimed that this could be true, but she couldn't believe it. Because surely it was impossible for a God who is a father, who came to earth as a man, to understand the reality of a woman. A male God couldn't relate to what it was like to, and these are some of the things that she highlighted, to have a period, to go through pregnancy or pregnancy loss, to have a hot flash, to deal with misogyny in all its various forms. This is one part of what we claim to be true about God that she simply could not agree with. The thing is, she had received from those who had taught her and from culture at large an image of God that looked a lot like Michelangelo's painting on the Sistine Chapel ceiling. An old white man who was basically creating a younger white man in his image. This image of God as an old man of European descent, an image that's been shipped around the world through colonialism, it's likely caused many throughout history to have some kind of disconnect with God, because that God can't relate to all of us. But what if Michelangelo and others have just been wrong? What if that's not what God looks like at all? I'd suggest that we have been wrong when we have let that be the image of God that is carried by many, not just in churches, but in culture generally. The Bible begins with a beautiful poetic account of the formation of the world. Genesis 1 and 2. Sorry, it's not meant to be read as scientific literature. Rather, it's an account to help us see God as the source of existence out of nothing, formation out of chaos, and purpose out of purposelessness. As the writer works through this beautiful poetic account, we get to a climax in the poem that has God, and it uses a plural pronoun for God, creating humanity in the image of the divine. Then, using a male pronoun, it describes male and female being created in his image. Here's what it says. Here's what it said. There we go. "Then God said, 'Let us,'" plural, "'make mankind in our image, in our likeness.'" And then picked up in a little bit, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So we've got this male pronoun for God, so God must be a man, right? I would suggest no. And there's several reasons for that. First of all, we need to recognize that all of the Bible was written against the backdrop of patriarchy, male headship. Men are in charge. Men are the ones who have authority. That's the entire cultural context of the Bible assumes that. And that reality of male headship shaped the language that was used. So if you're going to talk about the one who's in authority, they picked up the pronoun, the male pronoun for it. In fact, in Hebrew, which is the language of the Old Testament, in Greek, the language of the New Testament, in English, the language that I use for sure, there's no such thing as a gender-neutral personal pronoun. Is there one in French? I don't think so. Gender-neutral personal pronoun. No. Pardon me? Oh, there is a gender-neutral personal pronoun? Just one? Okay. Okay, so you could do it in French in a way that it doesn't exist in the other languages. But it's not a pronoun. Really. Anyway. When it comes to describing God, authors and translators have had to choose between he and she. It is not a personal pronoun. They've had to choose between he and she, and so they chose to go what is the normal grammatical choice. I don't know how they teach it now, but when I was growing up, they said, if you don't know the gender, you use he. That was just the rule that was in place. gender, that was what was done, and we've gone with like hyphens and things like that now. But when Scripture was translated, when it was written, certainly, the idea of using he wasn't primarily meant to identify God's gender. It was meant to identify God's personhood. That God is a personal being, not that God is a male being. To confuse those two things is to miss out on one of the most basic ideas here when it comes to God giving personhood to humanity. So God created humanity, yes, in his image. We can just leave that text up there for a little bit, Joe. Yes, in his image, but it's also in their image. Male and female are created in his image. The fact that it talks about male and female being created in his image, we see here at the very beginning that God is not bound up by the same gender ideas that exist within humanity. God is neither male nor female. And both male and female equally reflect God. And we don't just see it in this passage. All the way into the New Testament, when Jesus is brought into a conversation about what God is like, he's talking about God not being bound in one place, but he uses the language that says God is spirit. As a spirit, God is not bound by the gender language that we use. Because God is spirit, both male and female are created in the image of God. And so to picture God as an old man, whether Caucasian or any other skin color, puts false limits on what is really true about God. God is not male, God is not female, both male and female image God. All of humanity images God in some way, shape, or form. But even after we acknowledge and understand that God is not male or female, that both male and female reflect God, we still need to acknowledge that the backdrop of patriarchy, male headship, the language limitations of Scripture, most of Scripture identifies God with male language, which is why we get the image of the old man in the sky as a picture of God. And when looking at the image of God in Scripture, they're predominantly male-oriented. Because of the male-centric setting of Scripture, because of the male emphasis that the authors had, what we're going to look at for the rest of the time today is actually that much more remarkable. because Scripture uses very, very strong and clear feminine imagery to help us understand God more fully, that it's easy to kind of skip past if we aren't paying attention and we just have a picture of a male God in our head. On another day, I might talk about some of the powerful male imagery for God, but today we're going to just very quickly review some of the amazing female imagery used in the Bible to reveal God to us. Imagery that helps us understand that both male and female are necessary to reflect the image of God, and these female pictures are just phenomenally powerful and essential for us to hold on to, especially on a day like today. So, what are some of those images? The first I want to point out is the image of a comforter. Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." It really bugged me as a dad when, like, early on, my kids would get hurt, and I'd come to comfort them, and they'd, like, run past me to mom. I know that's not always the case. It was in our house. But that's there's just something in a mother's comfort. Like, and God says, that is who I am to you. How about provider? Again, the prophet Isaiah uses this picture. It says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? That's a rhetorical question. But even if the answer ends up being yes, a mother could do that, the Isaiah continues, though she may forget, I will not forget you. The provision of a breastfeeding mother, the most intimate kind of provision there is, God says, that is my posture to you. As the provider. There's another one here that, again, because of, I think, our cultural context, we may not see the, we will probably presume kind of a male thing with the next one, but the next one is when the word Almighty is used. The word Almighty in the Old Testament, here's an example, Genesis 49:25. Because of the Almighty, who blesses you with blessings of the heaven above, we often picture like a big, strong person who's pouring this out to them, but listen to the rest of that verse. Because of the Almighty, who blesses you with the blessings of the heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breast and womb. This is one who gives life and sustains life and gives strength. That word, Almighty, is the word Shaddai. And one of the, there's debate around where its origins come from, but one of the strong arguments is that the root of the word is Shad, El Shaddai, which primarily means the breasted one. This is a female image of a God who nourishes and gives strength and satisfies. So when you read in the Psalms about the Almighty, that's the word that's there. It's the breasted God who is giving this life and sustaining another. Another word that often gets used, and sometimes we may miss out on what it means, is the deliverer. This is not someone who rides in on a white horse rescuing. This is like a midwife or an OB who is bringing them through turmoil into a place of life. Psalm 22 says, "You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast." That imagery of one being delivered into life is included in Psalm 71 and Isaiah 66 as well. It's not about a violent, a warrior God. It's about a compassionate, caring one who is delivering someone through troubles. One more is protector. And this one, I love this because God uses different kinds of images to describe the divine as protector. In Deuteronomy 32:11, God is described as a mothering eagle who is hovering over her young. just circling, making sure that they are safe. In Hosea 13, it describes God as experiencing the fury of a mother bear who has been robbed of her cubs. I remember the first time I went hiking in Killarney Provincial Park. I had not been on much like kind of backwoods hiking stuff. And so when the people I were with were like, here, you need to have this bell on your bag, I was very confused. And they went on to explain that the bell is there so that if there's a bear out there with cubs, they can get away because you do not want to get between the mother bear and its cubs. Like, you will not last if you get between them. That type of fury is the picture that's used for God. Even Jesus, who came as male, and it's a whole other conversation to talk about why did God come in human form as male, but Jesus, when describing his heart towards Jerusalem, before he goes to the cross, do you remember the picture he uses? He weeps over Jerusalem and says, I long to gather you under me like a mother hen longs to gather her chicks under her wings. He uses female imagery to describe his heart and desire to protect and to care for Jerusalem. We could argue that the ideas of being a comforter, provider, strength giver, deliverer, and protector are not inherently female characteristics. But the fact remains that God saw fit to use feminine imagery to help us, to use feminine pictures to help us understand how these things are true about the divine. And if we fail to see them as feminine images, our understanding of God is incomplete. Without our understanding of God in feminine ways, our image of God actually robs us of recognizing that God truly does relate to each one of us as we are. On this Mother's Day, we give thanks for the wide variety of ways that God is revealed, and we lean into these images to see God as one who comforts us, as a mother comforts her crying children, as a provider giving nourishment in the most intimate way, as the source of our strength, as our deliverer, one who brings us through our challenges towards new birth, and as our protector who is watching out for us. In light of this, I've got three questions for the road that I want to leave you with. First, something for discussion. If you have some people you can talk with us about, or if you want to really have fun, just post it on Facebook and see how people respond. But for discussion, how does acting like, I think we have it on the slide, coming, there we go. How does acting like or presuming that God is male, or specifically a white male, create a hindrance for some people to having a truly intimate, loving relationship with God? Something to talk to each other about. Question two. Who are some women in your life who have imaged God for you in these ways, and how did they do so? As a comforter, as provider, as strength giver, as deliverer, as protector? Who are some women who have put God on display in your life through these ways? And I guess the follow-up part to that is, if possible, how could you thank them today? And the third question for the road, which of these maternal aspects of God are you in need of today? Are you willing to ask God to mother you as you need it? I'm not sure what it is you need from God, but I feel fairly confident that we all go through times and we need or long for God to come to us in some of these ways. And as we just consider how God is revealed in Scripture, it's a beautiful reminder that this is the God who longs to be with you today if you'll open yourself up to it. Let's pray. Almighty God, from whom all blessings flow, we thank you for your mothering heart towards us. We thank you for women who have put you on display for us in different times and in different ways. We grieve where some of the beautiful examples of your heart for us have been lost. We grieve where we haven't had those good examples of your love and care, but we find rest in knowing that even where others have struggled or stumbled or have had their own wounds that have left them unable to show this, that you are there. May we be open to your comfort, to your provision, to your strength, to your deliverance and your protection today. Thank you that you meet us in our need as we come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.